Danon Nutritia Campus is an open science education platform for healthcare professionals overseen by a not-for-profit foundation. The foundation is led by an independent board of medical professionals and academics with one clear goal: to advance the field of nutrition and health from infancy to old age through growing knowledge, training and education of healthcare professionals around the world in collaboration with medical and scientific communities.
In May 2020, a webinar was hosted by Nutritia around COVID-19 in pregnancy, breastfeeding, and infancy. A range of questions were asked by the healthcare professional audience, and since then, a lot of new scientific insights appeared in the news. My name is Zoe Ellis. I'm a registered nutritionist and have been working for Nutritia for 5 years, and I'm specialized in nutrition in the first 1,000 days. Joining me today, remotely of course, is Dr. Sarah Jarvis, general practitioner working in Shepherd's Bush, London. She also works in the mass media to promote health, is the health and medical reporter for The One Show, a regular guest on The Jeremy Vine Show, and clinical consultant for health website Patient UK. In this podcast, which is the first of a series of three, we'll be answering the top questions that were asked following the webinar. And Dr. Jarvis will go into all the recent science that was released since then. Now, in May 2020, the position was that breastfeeding was supposed to be safe, and there was at that time no evidence of transmission of COVID-19 in breast milk. Dr. Jarvis, you presented that the benefits of breastfeeding outweigh any potential risks of transmission of the virus through breast milk. Is there an update since last year on this topic? And is it still the case that we believe the virus is not transmitted through breast milk?
Thank you, Zoe. We are very firmly still of the belief that the benefits of breastfeeding definitely outweigh any possible risks of transmission of the virus through breast milk. There has been some more research. For instance, in February 2021, there was evidence that 37 milk samples, relatively small study, but nonetheless, 18 women with COVID-19, none of them contained the virus. And the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the Royal College of Midwives have produced a very influential position paper, which they update regularly. And what they showed was that the rate of neonatal COVID-19 infection is no greater whether the baby was born vaginally or via assisted method, and or whether the baby was breastfed or whether the baby stayed with the woman after birth. Now, that very much says to me that we should absolutely be continuing to breastfeed. We should absolutely be encouraging women to continue to breastfeed. And really importantly, that we should encourage women to breastfeed even if they have COVID, but that perhaps they need to take extra precautions then.
And what are your thoughts on a recent study by Washington State University where breastfeeding mothers were found to produce COVID-19 antibodies?
This was really exciting. This is almost the holy grail, if you like. Because you're absolutely right, this same study did show that women were producing antibodies and that those antibodies might be passed on in their breast milk. Now, this makes perfect sense. We know, for instance, that one of the really compelling reasons for vaccinating women against whooping cough, against pertussis during pregnancy, is that they pass on passive immunity. In other words, they pass on antibodies to their babies through breast milk, of course, as well as in other respects when they're pregnant. But the point is here that it's yet another reason to encourage the mother to continue to breastfeed. We know that breast milk is perfectly designed for your baby. We know there are all sorts of theories and indeed quite significant evidence that breastfeeding may reduce the chance of allergies, may reduce the chance of infections, all sorts of criteria which encourage us to breastfeed. And that's before we get onto the physical capability. And that's why we very much recommend that all women should be supported to be breastfed, including if they have COVID, but that women generally, I think, should be carrying out scrupulous hygiene using pumps, for instance, and that certainly if they have COVID, because it is thought that probably the main risk of breastfeeding is the close physical contact, the mother is likely to share infective respiratory droplets if she's infected, you might consider wearing a face covering while you're breastfeeding. But again, given the that babies on the whole are exceptionally unlikely to be severely affected by infection with coronavirus or with SARS-CoV-2. We therefore say, I certainly don't recommend that my mothers routinely wear a face covering when they're breastfeeding unless they are known to be positive for COVID.
And knowing that, what would be your advice towards our listening healthcare professionals that are seeing breastfeeding mums regarding preventative measures according to the latest insights? So you already shared some, but yeah.
I have. I mean, we all need to get used to the standard advice. In the UK, we have hand space, face and ventilate. So hands, scrupulous hand washing for 20 seconds. It may feel like 20 minutes using soap and water, and regular use of hand sanitizers containing at least 60% alcohol or at least 300 parts per million of hypochlorous acid if you cannot get to a sink. But actually, soap and water, warm water and soap, is always preferable. Pumps, of course, should be really carefully cleaned. If, however, a mother is positive, I would still encourage her to breastfeed. But if there is a time where she is not well enough to care for her infant, if perhaps direct breastfeeding for the short term isn't possible, then I would always suggest that we encourage her to express her milk either by hand or using a breast pump. And that if that isn't possible, that she should have access to donor breast milk. But if possible, of course, the idea of expressing her breast milk while she's unable to breastfeed her baby directly increases the chance that she will be able successfully to resume breastfeeding when she is better. And I would always say that that time of expressing should really very much be kept to a minimum, even if a mother is positive for COVID.
Now, there's been a lot of news about vitamin D. What's the current advice on supplementing vitamin D in lactating mums? And also, what's the effect of supplementing vitamin D in lactating women?
Well, vitamin D is one of these areas which nobody had ever heard of, perhaps 15 years ago, but certainly in the last 10 years and increasingly in the last five, I appear to be giving it out or advising every other patient I see about it. So interestingly, NICE did produce, the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, produced a rapid access guideline on vitamin D towards the end of last year. And unfortunately, the quality of the studies which they have are very, very poor. That is not to say that there is no evidence for vitamin D. What we have is no high quality evidence. Indeed, a paper which was submitted to The Lancet just in the last week, in the last week of February, was suggesting that people who are treated with vitamin D had a 60% lower mortality rate. Interestingly, within 3 or 4 days, and intense criticism from a lot of doctors, not including me, I didn't actually see the paper. But when I went to look for the paper, it had already been withdrawn. It was rejected by The Lancet, and it had already been withdrawn from the non-peer-reviewed website because it was found to be of low quality. So this is not for a second to say that there is evidence that vitamin D doesn't help, but just that there isn't high quality evidence that it does. However, let's come back to the general guidance. What the NICE Rapid Access Guidance says is you should be doing everything we already tell you to do. And the UK government have advised some considerable time, but reviewed in April, they suggested that everybody should be taking vitamin D, 10 micrograms, that's 400 international units, from October to the end of March for everybody, and that people who are at high risk, which includes breastfeeding women, women who are pregnant, children under the age of 5 years, anyone over 65, anyone who stays indoors, anyone who covers up for cultural reasons, anyone who has darker skin, all those people should consider taking 10 micrograms, that's 400 international units, all year round. Now, I have to say, my personal feeling is that 10 micrograms is a very low level. And personally, as somebody who avoids the sun assiduously, I personally take 20 micrograms. Now, I take that, have always taken it on the basis of my bones. Muscle health, however, can be connected. And certainly, there is increasing evidence that vitamin D modulates a wide variety of immune functions and therefore may well help with immune health.
Now, in May 2020, we could only dream of a vaccine. Now, mostly developed countries are already starting with vaccinations and are still facing the release of different new ones. Are you aware of vaccine studies performed in lactating mums?
I'm not aware of them, and that's despite looking quite hard for them. As far as I'm aware, pregnant women and lactating women in the main studies, certainly in the large phase three trials of the vaccines, which have been approved by the regulators so far, and of course that is Pfizer-BioNTech, AstraZeneca University of Oxford and Moderna, but likewise in the Novavax and the Janssen trials, they have in their main trials excluded both pregnant and breastfeeding women. So although there have been no lactating mothers in the study populations, further studies are being undertaken to confirm this information, the safety and the efficacy, which has been found in the rest of the population. But there is, as far as I'm aware, no concern raised by, for instance, breastfeeding mothers who have been vaccinated. And certainly from our perspective, I do not recommend that breastfeeding is any reason why not to vaccinate. In fact, the MHRA, the Medicines Health Regulatory Authority in the UK, has said that women who are breastfeeding could be given both the Pfizer-BioNTech and the AstraZeneca vaccine. Now, we don't have the Moderna vaccine in the UK, but I can't see any reason why it should be the case.
We've now come to the end of this podcast session. Dr. Jarvis, thank you very much for sharing your valuable insights, which I'm sure our listeners will find incredibly useful. I look forward to speaking to you in podcast 2 about COVID-19 and pregnancy.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to joining you for that too.
Date with future episodes of Danone Nutrition Campus, the Feed podcast. Make sure you subscribe on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on. For more updates on the show, or for more educational content from Danone Nutrition Campus, visit www.danonenutritioncampus.org.